Broadcasting from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, it's time for Executive Perspective. Executive Perspective is brought to you by Cressa, going beyond space to foster the best environment for every business. Now, here's your host, Danny Vandermeer.
Hello, and welcome to Executive Perspective, a podcast series brought to you by Cressa, the world's largest company dedicated to representing occupiers of commercial real estate. Cressa, we understand the value of business relationships, and that's why we decided to do this podcast series where we get to sit down with business leaders and understand their perspectives. My name is Danny Vandermeer, and I'm a senior vice president in the Atlanta office of Cressa, proud host of Executive Perspective. Today, I want to welcome Rich Simons, co-founder and partner with Edge Business Systems. Rich, thanks so much for coming on today.
Danny, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. What could you share with us about your background and your path to co-founding Edge?
I think if you rewind, it comes down to a solid education. And that's where it all started, over at Auburn University. War Eagle, that's right. So in terms of founding Edge, it started back in, we actually started the company in 2012. And it didn't come about naturally because we were forced into a situation, me and my partners, and that the company that we worked for previously, in which we were sales guys at, sold.
And what kind of company was that?
I tend to say it's Document Technology Solutions.
Uh-huh.
But when it boils down, it's office equipment, copy print, scan devices, anything really having to do with paper.
Got it. So very much a related
100%.
Company.
Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah, 100%. And the company that we left was privately owned.
Mm-hmm.
The synergy, it was great from everyone was having fun, going out and selling. And then it became corporate overnight.
Oh, no.
So they came to us and they said, hey, you need to sign these heavily weighted non-competes. And my partners and I, we looked at each other and said, there's got to be a better way to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of relationships in our business. And when we go to those same relationships and we're now representing a corporate company in which decisions are delayed in an industry that's driven by fast response, we thought about that before we broke off.
Got it. So what inspired you to get into the copy and printer industry to begin with?
Even rewinding before, I don't think I went to Auburn and said, I want to go into the copier business.
Sure. Yeah, that was not a major.
No, it started with, it's definitely not a major. But no, it started with civil engineering at Auburn and went directly into land development and real estate.
Civil engineering, land development, and real estate.
That's right.
And you found your way into the copy and printer industry.
Copier business. Correct.
Amazing.
It's an unusual fit, I'd say. With being in the land development, I moved from Alabama to Chicago. And that's where we had the family, started off with the family, and was in land development and real estate. And then my wife's from the South.
Mm-hmm.
So she lasted about 4 years, which was 3.5 years too long in Chicago. Said, we got to move South. So ventured down to Atlanta and being down here for about 9 months. We all know what happened in the market in 2006.
Yes.
It went straight into the tank.
Yeah.
And that's what led me into the office equipment business. Just randomly met some folks and they said, hey, you're the type of guy that can probably succeed in any type of sales route. Mm-hmm. Never had a sales position before in my life. So going from an engineer's office and with a sales personality into let's go out and sell copiers and cold call and drive around a territory, it was eye-opening for sure.
So in land development, having come from civil engineering or having come from a civil engineering background.
Correct.
And somebody said, you seem like somebody who can sell. This could be a good idea for you. This could be a good fit.
I think that me being in an engineer's office with a sales personality, I wasn't a fit in that industry. So it was one of those things like I found my calling through the market going south. And you just, when you move down here and my wife stays at home and we have two young kids and I'm forced to go out and make it, you have no choice but to grind it out and earn a living.
Motivation helps.
I would say so.
That's amazing.
Debt helps. Expenses help.
Being backed into a corner, there's nothing more valuable than being hungry. Being in sales, I know you could appreciate that. Yeah. It's almost a prerequisite.
I would say that if you do not have the hustler mentality and you don't have a wolf-like mentality and tendencies just to grind it out, I'm not sure. People say, hey, I want to get in sales because they see the vacations people take or the trips people take or the freedom throughout the day, but they don't see the underlying effort that it takes to be successful. And when those people get into sales, they say, oh my God, this is really hard.
It's work.
I'm not cut out for this. Then maybe the desk job is better for them. Maybe their level of comfort with having that type of position versus making your own day, planning your own schedule. How many calls are you going to make today? It really comes down to you.
That's amazing. So fast forward to almost where we started again, because we started talking about Edge and then we went back to what got you into sales. But coming back to Edge, when you guys started it, and after the situation you just described, what was one of the biggest risks you and your partners faced?
Failure.
Got it.
But that's why people don't get into starting new companies, because they're scared of failure. So the risk of overcoming that failure was, or the motivation of overcoming that failure was, number one, we couldn't fail because my partners have families. I have a family. So the way I look at it, I was in my early 30s when I started the company with the guys. And I said to myself, hey, if this doesn't work out, I can go sell somewhere else. But why not give it a shot right now where the age is on my side? And I said, let's go for it. So I have no regrets at all. It's been challenging along the ways. But right now I look back into where we've grown 12 years later, numerous national accolades, company of the year, continued growth. Probably the biggest challenge that we have right now is retaining good people after we find them. Mm-hmm. And the reason being is, and just like any company, people make the company. We have great people. We have great staff. So it's retaining those folks, continuing to challenge them every day, and then finding good salespeople. That's hard for any business.
Yeah. Talking about starting Edge and growing Edge, since you guys began, how has the equipment industry evolved?
I tell you what, there's nothing sexy about what I do, which is why I joke around and say, hey, it was one of those things. We're at a Christmas party a couple of years ago, and I walk over, and my wife was talking to another lady, and she asked what I did. And my wife says, I sell copiers. I'm like, at the core, that's what we do. We're in the equipment business. And I joke around, I said, no, we sell document technology solutions, because it's really gravitated towards more software, more application, workflows. Just like everyone has the iPhone or an Android, you have these apps that plug into it. Yeah. That's our business. The copiers, the phone, and all these apps and softwares that integrate, that's typically what I personally tend to focus on, because it's more impactful when it comes to an office environment. The problem is that you can't go from getting into the business to selling those without experience, because it takes a lot of time to get to that point. The equipment industry has gravitated towards software and application, now introducing AI and all that. I'm not sure what's going to happen with respect to that. But if you go into an opportunity and you're strictly talking about a device, your chances of earning that business and maintaining the standing of a value partner is out the window.
So how could you tie in how ethics have evolved since you guys got into the business or started Edge?
No, I agree completely. What's interesting in our world is we oftentimes are compared to the used car industry. And so when we walk
Why do you think that is? That's amazing.
Fast talking, slick sales guys, mm-hmm. trying to make a buck. And our industry is driven predominantly by lease agreements, 3, 4, 5 years, just like auto, right? Long commitments. And the folks who sign people up on that first deal probably won't see the second deal after 3, 4, 5 years because they're out of the business. They need to come in, say whatever they need to say to earn the business, earn the deal, and get out. And it's a very high transaction business.
Mm-hmm.
With that,
it sounds like very little consistency, or consistency isn't expected.
It's not expected
in a lot of a lot of instances.
Not at all. And with the whole ethical situation, people say and do whatever they can do to get the deal, whether it's in the best interest of the client or not.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the struggle that we have. Is I'm beyond direct. I'm very candid. And I know the clients that would be great fits for our company.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need every business on the corner, where young guys who get into any type of sales capacity probably need to get as much business as possible. And I've seen that over and over again. And that's why you have so much turnover in this business. And just like any sales business, you have so much turnover because people are just strictly motivated by the dollar, their dollar, not the companies that they're selling to.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild.
It's being the veteran that you are. And how do you identify that with the new sales reps that come on board at Edge? And how do you speak to that?
You got to train them.
Yeah.
you got to train them. We have weekly trainings. We have monthly trainings. And you have to train them. And you have to let them know that they have a company inside of the company.
Mm-hmm.
They're an entrepreneur within Edge. They have a territory. It's their assignment. They need to seek ways to continue to grow personally, whether it's reading sales books or listening to audiobooks or researching different sales methodologies. They need to do that personally because they can't take the time during the day to work on self-improvement because those are the golden hours. You're out there looking for opportunities, prospects, customers that you can sell solutions to. It's not time to work on your own self-development. You got to do that after hours. And with folks nowadays, how many people want to take the time outside of a 40 to 50 hour work week to continue self-improvement?
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that I've always been big on is reading, education. I have an entire library of books, predominantly sales books. And if you take an excerpt from one book or another, then you've built the way that you sell and you go to market. And sometimes it's meant for people. Sometimes it's not meant for people.
Talking about sales, when you guys founded Edge, what did your responsibilities look like and how have they evolved?
When the three of us started the company, we were all sales guys. Uh-huh. Now, what was different is that at the company that we came from, it was a well-oiled machine. You'd sell a deal, you'd turn in paperwork, and the equipment would be delivered to the end user. It was seamless. And then you go on to the next deal, and you go on to the next deal. What was really eye-opening for us is that when we sold the first few opportunities is that we had big old boxes from FedEx and UPS show up at our door. And that was it. And then we looked at each other. Oh my God.
Who's going to take this where it needs to go?
Even rewinding before that, uh-huh. who's gonna build these machines? And the three of us looked at each other. We're like, okay, so you're going to do this piece of the machine. I'm going to do this piece and you're going to do this piece. We're going to sticker it. We're going to test it. And then, oh yeah, we have to deliver it. Oh my God. You cut out everything from the middle of the alphabet and go from A to Z like we were accustomed to now seeing every single aspect of the business. That was truly eye-opening because all that effort slows down opportunities.
It almost makes finding or like founding this business seem like an education in how to really create a company that sells printers and copiers. And I'm not watering down what your company does.
Document technology.
How to really start a company that provides document technology solutions from like the ground up.
That's interesting.
You wouldn't have had this perspective where you guys came from, where all of you came from.
What's interesting is that we hire folks and now we are the well-oiled machine. We're the juggernaut in town that the old company that we came from was. So when new folks start and they have their role, we understand what the role is because we've done it. Now, the struggle with this is that we are continuing to improve our processes and become more efficient in delivery, how many deliveries we maximize a week, how much downtime is the new prospect going to have at the office. So we're always improving efficiencies. And really,
when does process improvement end?
Never. And you know that.
I do.
It never ends. That was a softball question.
It was. It's part of that dawning realization of starting a company, right? I mean, you really grow an appreciation for operations and that it's never perfect.
No.
If it was, then you're not doing enough.
I really will tie in engineering into what I do. We joke about it, right? But to what you just said, engineering operations ties in nicely because it's analytical, it's methodical. There's a process to it. Everything that I do on a daily basis has a process built around it. So I have a lot of flaws. We all have flaws because we're going 100 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm.
I overanalyze a lot of the processes because I'm like, there's got to be a better way to do this. There's got to be a better way. I'm always dissecting and analyzing it. But sometimes what we have in place is the best that can be done.
Yeah. So you're still involved a lot with top line in sales. What do you love about sales, open-endedly, generally speaking?
Every person's different.
Uh-huh.
Every personality is different. Every company's different. It's not like I'm out there selling typewriters back in the 80s. It dates me a little bit. But every company you walk into is different. And that's what's great because you're looking for a custom solution. You forget the price book. And it's like walking into a doctor's office. You're getting an X-ray. You're getting an MRI. Oh, my God, I need a knee replacement. Just went through that.
For those listening, Rich just literally went through a knee replacement at the beginning of February and he's walking around like a champ.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Stay off the squat racks, kids.
But not to get too off subject here, what's funny is you started talking about processes from an engineering standpoint and how there's a beginning and an end of things. And then what you love about sales is that it's never the same. It's always different. There's really no pattern.
There's, and really, I have slowed down, not in my drive to sell, but in my drive to find ideal clients. And I say that because I know what I'm personally good at. I know what the company is great at. I'm looking for those clients. And when you go out and you sell anything, you have a great fit, a great, hey, that sale went great. Now you're getting into referrals. And then the domino effect just kicks in. So it's the more tenured you are, the more outbound prospecting you have to do. It's flipped and now inbound comes. And then that's why no great sales professional could ever leave their business, because the inbound is extremely fruitful.
Yeah. So how do you ensure that your sales team stays motivated? How do you keep them hungry?
It's a loaded question.
How do you keep them hungry when they get to that point?
I actually had this conversation with them yesterday at the sales meeting.
How did it go?
I think it went great from my standpoint. And this is what I told them. To stay hungry, go out and get yourself into debt. That's what I told them. Buy a car.
Country club membership. House.
Something.
That's a great way to go into debt right now.
And what I told them is staying hungry doesn't mean going out and making a sale and take out X percent of taxes and you're left with Y. And then what can you afford? I flip it around. I said, okay, get into something. Have a kid. Get married. That's going to create a pile of debt. You have no choice but to work your tail off, to earn a living, to not only overcome that debt, but then to create a margin above that debt profit, and now you start saving. Now you're living the way you want to. So if you don't have that mentality, then it's just it's a rat race. You're the hamster on the wheel that keeps on doing the same thing, and then you wake up in 2 years and say, man, I should have done something different 2 years ago. I should listen to that guy on a Monday morning.
Oh, that's a good way to tie in yesterday's conversation. I love that. That's awesome. How does technology play a role in your, but also Edge's approach to sales?
I would say that not only do we sell technology, but it's the core of what we do. Everyone's on their phones, whether it's researching great prospects and who people know via LinkedIn or through networking groups. We're in the process of converting over CRM software, and I'm at the forefront of doing that.
How's that going?
It's great. It's great. Because again, and I enjoy doing it, and here's why. It's a tremendous amount of data. Data is analytical. My background is, again,
an engineering background.
It's analytical. The thing about any conversion is change behavior. So you change to a new copier. You change to a new company. It's not perfect. You change to a new software. Users are going to have to adapt or they're going to be left behind. Mm-hmm. So is the user experience has been less than ideal because it's something new. And they were accustomed to something old. Yeah. Now, when you go to this, you're going to have to adapt.
Change is messy.
It's messy. But you know what? You're going to toughen up your skin. It'll be better in 3 months, just like my knee will. I promise.
You're doing good.
Appreciate it.
You're doing good.
Yeah. But yeah, technology is at the core of what we do. We sell it. It's never about the widget. It's never about the product. It's always about what can we use to better our own business. And that's what Edge brings to the table.
So you talked about CRM. How important is customer relationship management in your industry? Not just with the technology you use, generally speaking, in the subject of sales.
It's important, but it's extremely hard. And here's why. Okay. So say you are in an office and you have one machine.
I've been in that office.
And you have that one machine.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure if it's an Edge machine. We'll figure it out later. Okay. That lease is 3 to 5 years. So in theory, you really don't have an opportunity for a sale for another 3 to 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've positioned ourselves as is technology experts. So inside your office, there's other technologies
that tie into the use of the printer.
So you have, what are we talking on right now? Some sort of internet. There's telephones, there's security systems. So what Edge has done a fantastic job as is that we've aligned ourselves with other companies in the market that offer the premier solutions that we do, that we can then introduce those folks into our accounts for them to offer their solution to better the company. So if you didn't have that relationship with somebody, why would they listen to you or take your word for introducing one of your technology partners? So it's everything.
Yeah,
but if you set the expectation up front, hey, this is a 3 to 5 year contract. You know, how often do you want to hear from me on an annual basis and get their feedback? At least you guys could work towards the common goal of consistency.
Yeah, so it sounds like staying in touch and being a resource, even though you might not be immediately needed.
Not at all.
Often does it happen where somebody, they've got a copier, they just signed, you know, 5-year lease with you guys, and wow, they're doubling down on space in their workforce, and now they need 2 or 3 more.
Obviously, that's why you partner with the best commercial real estate companies in town.
Well, that's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But speaking of customer relationship management, I guess those situations that arise, you want to occupy as a solution for that need when that thought comes up. It sounds like, as you described it,
you want to be at the top of their list with anything in your space. So we're a technology company. We specialize in what we do, and we partner with other technology companies. We have friends, we have partners that are CPAs, financial advisors. There's different spheres of influence when you get into different core businesses. Mm-hmm. We're not recommending CPAs. Why would a technology guy recommend a CPA?
Yeah.
Okay. Now we'll recommend our CPA all day long, but we're not leading with that because it's not synergistic. We really enjoy the customer experience, and we bring that to their attention during the first couple conversations with them, that we're going to help them in all aspects of their business, not just what we do.
Hence the name Edge Business Systems. We are not just Edge Business Copiers, Edge right. Business Scanners. We are systems, all things that tie into that technology need.
100%.
So how do you handle objections, and how do you help your sales team handle objections?
I think handling objections comes with confidence. Handle objections with
and maybe foregoing pride.
You'd have to swallow your pride a little bit.
Yeah.
And because again, I think when you handle objections, you have to realize when to walk away. You're not going to be the best fit for everybody, but by handling objections, you can throw any objection at me. I'm going to have a customer. Edge will have a customer that was in the position that this client, potential client is, that we can then reference. We can tell a story about, we can connect them to, say, hey, don't take our word for it. We're going to connect you with this other company because they had the same exact objection as you. Mm-hmm. Talk offline, leave me out of it, and just had a candid conversation. And then hopefully once that conversation goes as we think it's going to, then we can go ahead and pick up the conversation. Price is always an objection.
Sure.
Okay. We're not the cheapest. We're not the most expensive. Service is always an objection. We want the best service. And we all know you can't have quality service and price all in one. I'll give you 2 out of the 3. That's
what's that triangle called? There's a name for it, but yeah, you pick two.
Pick two. Mm-hmm. And really, if I had a prospect, well, this guy said he can give me the best price and the best quality and give me the best product. I said, ma'am, if you believe that, you should go work with him. Mm-hmm. And I told her that. And she was taken back. She goes, I'm really taken back.
It's a very disarming statement.
And you're right. And I said, why are you so taken back? She goes, because no one has told me that before. And that's where it comes with the confidence to say, listen, we're going to give you X. We can't give you everything. We're truthful, because you'd rather start the relationship off on truth. Remember what I was telling you about before, about how the industry gets into ethical issues where people lie and then they just close a deal for dollars? I've walked away from opportunities before because they didn't feel right. And I've walked away from customers before because decision makers have changed and I didn't feel right continuing to work with those folks. How many people will walk away from a client? A sales professional would.
Says a lot. A professional.
Professional would.
A professional.
You know what's the opposite of a professional in any space?
The word's not coming to me.
A pretender. You have a professional, then you have the pretenders. I talk about it all the time at the office. I talk about to the team that you do not want to act like the pretenders that we compete against, that go on price, that promise the world, that don't deliver. Stand your ground, hold your ground. That comes with confidence, but it also comes with tenure.
Yeah. And I think you already said the word confidence. And another word you said that I love that you opened up was truth. Because I think what I think about when I hear you use that word is when I got into the business that I'm in, and when a lot of what we do is business development related, and what a mentor shared with me and what it took me years to appreciate was that there's really no real way to fast forward to trust. It's planted with seeds as you go along. And acknowledging those opportunities and doing it goes a long ways. Like that story you just shared, mm-hmm. I'm not your person,
right?
You should probably go and work with them. There's so much honesty in that answer. The other thing that you can't fast forward along with trust is relationships. I mean, relationships and trust just take time. And I love that example And for all the salespeople listening to that, it's just a good reminder of really at the core of what we do and the core of what you do, those virtues to hold on to, because as Rich just described, it is invaluable. And not only does it help you grow your business, but it helps you protect the most important part of yourself, and that's your reputation, which is gold.
Yeah, you have to be careful about that.
I'll get off my soapbox, but I just really appreciate what you just shared.
You have to be careful about that, because getting back into the business and pretender type mentality versus professionals, I can't tell you the number of instances that I've been in where we're competing. Obviously, our business is extremely competitive, but the competitors talk bad about other companies. And
what do you think when you hear that?
Besides the word pretender?
Yeah, besides the word pretender.
Here's what I would say is, if you're the buyer and you hear a vendor talking bad about somebody else, what are you thinking? What goes through your head? Because when obviously being a partner of our company, we work with vendors. We work with folks soliciting us. So the way we approach it and the way I approach it is, why would you talk bad about others? Why don't you talk about the good things that you do, the references that you can send the prospect over to for a conversation, case studies. I never understood bad-mouthing people.
It sounds weak when you hear it, doesn't it?
It's weak. It's not good. And I just don't understand. Not only are vendors can have a pretender mentality, but so can customers. And I say that because a lot of companies will buy into the bad-mouthing. Like, oh my God, really? Let me find out more. And
dirt is easy to listen to, but to your point, I think I know where this is going. Sorry, I'll let you finish.
No, and just, I mean, if you build up a reputation based on honesty and truth, and you're candid up front, because I can be, because we can be, it's in my blood, I don't see the downside. You're going to know where you stand quickly. And if you have the understanding that everybody's not for you, or you're not for everybody, then I think that goes hand in hand with your mission statement of being able to work with those people that you want to work with. And also the confidence. I have this conversation quite frankly at the office. Well, Rich, you've been in this business for a long time. You have more opportunities than a guy who just started 6 months ago or 12 months ago. They got to close those 3 deals a month.
They're hungry.
They're hungry, but they have to close them because they remember they have that debt that I told them to go out and get.
They're in debt. Yeah.
They have to go out and get it. They can't be selective. So maybe they have to be less candid up front than you want them to be. Mm-hmm. But then again, it comes with time and patience. You can't rush sales success. It comes with time. And if someone hasn't been told that, then they're being lied to.
You're an example of that. How often are you educating yourself in the realm of sales?
Multiple times a day.
And you've been in sales for how long?
15 years.
That's a good example.
Yeah.
You're always working on yourself.
To
your point, I think that the best salespeople, most trusting salespeople, accomplished salespeople, I think that they're always honing that craft. It's like going to the driving range.
I got to do that.
Yeah.
I got to work on that.
But you got to work on that after your knees.
I know.
It's there.
All, I know.
So getting back to your starting edge and growing edge again, what piece of advice do you wish you had received when you started this journey that you would share with somebody who's thinking about doing the same thing?
The advice that I would tell folks to really take to heart is, don't listen to others. If you're dead set on something and you have the heart to do it, you have the fortitude to do it, you have the bandwidth to do it, the patience, because you're going to have a lot of detractors. I can't tell you the number of detractors that we had. Oh my God, don't buy from them. It's 3 guys selling machines. Don't do that. But if you just...
They put it together themselves.
They put them together. That's right. They're building the machine that you're about to get.
They figured out how to build a printer, and it was your printer.
That's right. Hunker down, grind it out, build the business brick by brick, like Field of Dreams. They're going to come. Not only will the clients come, but the employees are going to come. And then gets back into what I said. You find good people, you retain good people. You treat them, you take care of them. So that's what I would say, is just don't listen to others and just keep on grinding it out.
What other advice would you give to somebody looking to start a sales-focused business?
Keep hustling.
Just keep going.
Every day. Every day. You got to live it. You got to eat it. You got to breathe it. But I will also say that if you are married, you have to have your family buy into it. because you can't go down the road by yourself without the support mechanism around you. You need that support.
Yeah, that's great advice. It takes more than one in the family to make it happen.
I agree.
If there was, this is a storytelling opportunity here, if there was a pivotal moment in your professional journey through this point in time, whether it was when you guys started this business or whether it was back when you were in land surveying or whether it was your knee replacement surgery just 2 months ago, what was it?
I tell you what, it's never settle. You're going to get to a point, any sales professional will get to a point of being comfortable. Okay. I was mildly comfortable with my knee. I didn't have to have the surgery, but structurally my joints weren't changing. Okay. They were all going to be problematic. When you get to a point of being comfortable, I think that's a bad thing. I think you have to find new ways to challenge yourself. Go out and, again, make an investment in something. Go out and start a branch office. Start a side business. Start a complementary business. Okay, do not settle towards anything until that point when you're ready to really hang it up in the future. And I would also caution you on that. I've had buddies who have retired and they're bored out of their mind because they can't be at the gym 4 hours a day.
Yeah,
they can't golf every single day. So I'd be very cautious on that as well, but never settling. And that's the core of our company's existence and my personal existence as well.
Last question here for you personally and professionally, what makes a good day a great day? What makes the best complete day for you?
I've always said that finding one win a day is crucial to success. And that goes professionally, that goes personally, maybe on the home front, maybe physically at the gym, health, if you're health conscious, excuse me. But from good to great, I think just making an impact personally with a client is the ultimate, because again, you don't know the impact you're going to have until you hear back from your clients. And that's what I say.
A client's words go far.
And get it documented and ask for reviews and ask for referrals.
Yeah. Never waste that opportunity.
Never.
Because it's amazing how much clients love to do that. I think that a lot of salespeople don't appreciate that their clients can and would love to be their cheerleaders. I love that. Rich, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate it. I love talking sales with you because it's a part of what I do and what we do at Cressa, but you've been going at it. You've been so great at it for so long now, and you're raising an army over there at Edge, and I just love that.
We want to continue to grow and continue to expand. So appreciate you having me.
Yeah. So if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, what would be the best way for them to connect with you?
I think the edgeatl.com. Let's start there. Or they can also email me at rsimons, S-I-M-O-N-S, @edgeatl.com. But the two best spots right there.
Awesome. Again, thank you so much for coming here. And thank you, everybody, for tuning into this episode of Executive Perspective. We'll wait to see you next time.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for joining us on Executive Perspective. This show is brought to you by Cressa, the world's largest occupier-centric commercial real estate firm offering unbiased, conflict-free advice. For more information, go to cressa.com.